The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Well, how do we navigate in our present world with all that's going on? Not only do we still have the pandemic, and in some parts of the world it's just as bad as it ever was, if not worse. Climate change has been, will be with us for years, plus racism and all the other violence that we keep seeing, wars in Africa that have been going on for years and years, you know, conflicts in the Middle East and so forth. Now we have the war in Ukraine, which we keep hearing out of. It's a dreadful, it's a war of aggression, an unnecessary war. And it's causing terrible suffering and great fear with people. Not only to those people involved directly, but also to a great many other people who will be suffering a lot because of want, lack, you know. Already people are struggling and their lives are going to get much harder. So how do we manage not to be completely overwhelmed by all this? Outrage, anger, fear, sadness, anxiety, despair. It can be seem completely overwhelming. And how can we remain still in the midst of it all with an open heart and not just shut down or become kind of immune to all the suffering because there's so much of it? Well, some of us simply give up looking at the news. We just get overwhelmed, it's all too much, and we just turn it off, or we just, I just can't pace it. Some of us, on the other hand, can't stop looking at the news, hearing it, reading about it. We feel we have to know what's going on. We have to keep up with it all. We have to be up to date on the latest events, especially at the moment. And we can get kind of obsessed with it all, you know. So how do we keep a balance and not just feel helpless, either turn away or obsess? Well, it's helpful to look at our motivations, I think, to stop looking at the news for a while. It can actually be a good thing. Just give us a break, a little bit of distance, you know. When I go to the Hermitage, I don't look at the news. One time I was out there, Katrina happened. Another time I was out there, a huge tsunami happened, which killed 250,000 people. I didn't know until I wish I had known, actually. Anyway. But when we do look at the news or we read the news, are we doing it out of real concern for our fellow beings? Or are we using it to feed our righteous anger and sense of outrage? Are we looking for yet another cause to get mad about? You know, it can be the case. Here's something I get really righteously angry about. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Now it's worse. Are we just distracting ourselves and spending huge amounts of time reading about everything that comes our way? You know, we can get doing that. We could spend our whole life looking at the news because there's so much of it. And when there is some major event like the war in Ukraine, there's so much media coverage, endlessly, and it's not always helpful. Sometimes it's not accurate, sometimes it's somewhat biased, and yet we want to know what's going on. We want to know what's happening. We want to be able to offer merit. So how do we do it kind of wisely and not just drown or get upset? Fear-mongering. Rumors get spread. People grab onto things to get afraid of. And it spreads. You know, people, fear does spread. And there's good reason for fear and worry, especially over in Europe, you know. But we don't need to be consumed by fear and worry. We can sit still. We've heard this before, of course. Well, when we sit still, as we know, we can gain some perspective. We can consider how best we can give help, practical help, if we can. And we can find compassion. And that's the main thing. We can cling a little bit less tightly to our views and opinions and, you know, be a little less judgmental. And we can be less ruled by fear of what might happen to us, to people in Europe, to people in our world, you know, to people we love. Because compassion helps us to sit still in the midst of fear. helps us to know that actually there's something a lot bigger and deeper. It gives us some space to just sit still and take a breath and not be completely pulled hither and yon by everything that happens. And when we do this, when we do sit still in the midst of all that's going on, actually it does help. Because when we sit still, we allow space for a wider and a deeper and kinder view. We allow room for compassion to come up for all beings. And we may also contribute money or our time or our skills. That's great, that's good. But to sit still and not to get pushed off our sitting place also does help the world. And to trust that this is so, to have faith in the power of stillness and the power of compassion, is part of that. The willingness to be still, to have faith in that stillness, in faith, in relinquishing fear as it comes up, and particularly trusting in compassion that can come through us. As we know, it's very easy to get caught up in harsh judgments about people, especially people who are doing tremendous harm. People in power who do awful things, you know. And when we sit still, we can look a bit more deeply at that. I've been reading this book by Joan Halifax called Standing at the Edge. It's really good. And there's a bit she says in here which I thought I'd like to read to you. She's talking about respect. And she says, we can even respect those who bring about harm if we have insight into the nature of their deeper situation. Years ago, I was not an admirer of the vice president of our country. Often I struggled with my aversion toward the person. One day, I decided to focus on him in my meditation practice. I saw him as a baby, then as a young boy. I considered the fact that one day he would die, and that death might not be so easy for him, given all the suffering he had caused others. I recognized that although I might not want to have dinner with him, he was still a human being, and shaming him would do neither of us any good. I also realized that if I were called to sit by his bedside as he was dying, I would be there for him. I was very clear about the imperative to take a stand against his principles. I could separate the person from his deeds. I could open my heart to the person while objecting to his actions towards others. Since that time, she says, I've seen more clearly the truth of suffering in those who abuse others. This view has helped me avoid getting stuck in aversion when I encounter someone who's dangerous to others. I'm not apathetic about the harm they're doing, but imagining them as a baby or a dying person puts their lives in perspective for me. I think that's rather nice. And this is about respect, you know, respecting people. They're a human being just like us. They're not some alien species. To see a person in this way, to see them as just another human being who was born vulnerable, you know. A human being just like us. And we can respect them as a person who is vulnerable just like us, who has suffering, who was born, who is a child, who will eventually die just like us. And we can have compassion for them. And we're not so afraid of them because they're just a human being. Thinking of respect, compassion includes respect because we're feeling with somebody. But pity often doesn't include respect. It can be feeling superior to the person. I've got something that they don't have and I'm sorry for them, you know. But to have compassion is to feel with the person. To see them as a being, as I said, a person who is prone to suffering just like us, who have made some horrible mistakes, but they're a person like us, and to wish to help or to offer merit to that person, no matter who they are or what they might have done. Well, we just celebrated our transfer of merit ceremony, where we offer merit to all beings, especially those for whom merit has been asked. We write our names on a list to have them read at the ceremony, as we know. you read them quietly, one of the monks reads them quietly while we're doing the scriptures and so forth. And this ceremony is a great offering of the merit of our practice and an offering of compassion for all beings. It's really big. And there's no judgment here. We offer merit for everybody, all kinds of beings, humans, animals, living, the dead, those remembered, the ones we've forgotten, individual people we've remembered, or animals we've remembered, and people in groups, nations, you know, large numbers of people who've suffered from some horrible thing. And, yes, we offer merit to those who've suffered great harm, and also those who have created great harm. All need compassion and merit. You don't leave out the bad guys and just give merit to the good guys. You give merit to everybody, because everybody needs it, especially the ones who've done harm. We're all deeply connected to each other. We're all affected by each other. We all need each other, no matter who we may be. Nobody is beyond needing other humans. We're all vulnerable little human beings. And sometimes people forget that, but this is the case. And I think this is how we navigate those turbulent waters of our current times, by sitting still, practicing compassion, relinquishing judgment, and not holding on to hatred, anger, outrage, and all that, because it's not helpful. And it's so easy to feed that, you know. You might not feel very compassionate towards somebody who's done a great deal of harm, especially when they do it on a large scale. But we can still offer merit and not close our heart to them, just to do our best to offer merit to that person. Sometimes it can be helpful to put a picture of that person on our altar, you know, if it seems good, to remind us of their humanity. This is just a human being. You know. No one is completely evil. Everybody has good inside them. But people do evil things. You don't have to hate the person. Everybody has some good in their heart, even if they cover it up with anger and hatred and ignorance and selfishness. And who knows what that person might have been through in their life. We just don't know their history, don't know what made them the way they are. And we can offer merit and compassion. Well, as we read this morning in the Shishogi, no matter how powerful or wealthy a person might be, they will die alone. As the great Master Dogen says, the kingdom of death must be entered by oneself alone, with nothing for company but our own good and bad karma. When the great Chinese Master Su Yun, Empty Cloud, was over 100 years old, he was brutally beaten by communist soldiers and left for dead, actually. He almost died, but he survived. He later said he had refused to die because of the heavy karma the soldiers would bear had they killed him. So because of them, out of compassion for them, so they wouldn't have this dreadful karma of having killed somebody who was actually an arahant, he wouldn't die. So he lived, you know, he probably would have been happy to go at that time, over 100 years old and beaten almost to death, but he did not die. He waited, he saved, he survived and died later. When one of the monks of our own order heard about some female monks in the Tibetan tradition who had been ill-treated and disrespected, he burst into tears, not because of the humiliation or the damage done to the female monks, but because of the karma that those who had ill-treated them would bring upon themselves. That's why he cried. I thought, whoa, you know. So we all have the karma of our good and evil deeds. Doesn't mean we're a good or an evil person. We have the karma of our good and evil deeds. And we always have a choice. And for those who have made choices that we think are deeply unwise, to say the least of it, we can offer merit and compassion. As well, of course, as toward the people who have been harmed. Huge numbers of people suffering. Not only in Ukraine, but all over the world, in all the many ways. Enormous amounts of suffering in our world. And you can't actually take it all in. You really can't feel with every being who's suffering. Otherwise, you couldn't bear it. But to be able to offer merit, to sit still and have compassion helps us to keep our heart open to people and not turn away, and to offer merit, to offer something, offer kindness, offer compassion and understanding, and or as best we can, and to not be swallowed up in outrage and anger and so forth. So when you hear about some great suffering being created in our world, such as the war in Ukraine, or the effects of climate change, what we could have done something about and didn't, or an act of racist violence, or some other awful thing that could push all our outrage buttons, or cause us to fall into fear or despair. You know, I'm helpless, I have nothing I can do. If we can sit still and not turn away, but look, sit still, and offer compassion and merit for all those in that situation, this helps us to remain upright, with an open heart, and to sit still in the midst of fear, worry, judgment, all that stuff that can pour through us. Let it pour in and let it pour out. We don't have to hold on to it. We don't have to let it guide our actions. To sit still and not to be driven by all the stuff we see and read. To sit still and see it, but not to let it push us off our sitting place, and not to turn away. This helps us. And it helps our world. The world needs all the sanity and compassion and merit that we can come up with. And the effects of our offering spread far and wide in ways that we never see. Just to trust that. And if you can help in practical ways, that's good too, of course. But if we feel there's not much we can do, and we can just sit still in the midst of all that fear and turmoil, and keep offering merit and compassion for everybody, no matter who they are, no matter how blessed or how cursed they may appear to be, how much they're suffering now, how much they might suffer in the future. Everybody has suffering. Everybody is born as a vulnerable little creature. Everybody will die vulnerable and alone in a certain way. So offering merit for everybody is something we can do.